your digital book club.
Hello!
Hey there!
And welcome
to Young Adultish.
DBC, your digital book club. Well, that's Ginny.
And that is Allie over there.
And I guess we should be saying welcome back.
We should, because this is part two of our podcast about House of Earth and Blood.
House of Earth and Blood, that is the first novel in the Crescent City series by Sarah J. Maas. We covered the first part 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And so if you haven't checked that one out, then you should, because we talked about the first half, and now we'll be talking mostly about the second half. Additionally, this is not a spoiler-free podcast. This is not a spoiler-free podcast.
No, it's not.
We have lots of opinions. So if that's the kind of thing that bothers you, hit pause. We'll still be here when you get back. Finish the book. Or if you're a person who doesn't care about spoilers or isn't reading the book, then play on.
Stick around.
It makes no difference to me.
Yeah.
Consider yourself warned. So, why don't we start with kind of a little bit of a recap. Not too long, but just a tiny recap of where we were at.
Yeah, and last time we talked about, we kind of introduced our main characters and the main plot. Bryce Quinlan is our half-human, half-fae main protagonist in this story. She lives in Crescent City, which is this kind of metropolis of supernatural...
Zootopia.
Yes, it's Zootopia, as we learned last time. Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome.
Yep. You all didn't know you needed that, but it's good. So it's this Zootopia metropolis of supernatural beings and humans that live together in this city. And the main issue that comes up is murder.
Murder!
Yeah, it's a pretty big
murder!
Issue, right?
So generally.
Yeah, so
Bryce I wouldn't be like, how's your day? So, you know, just a touch of murder. It kind of puts a damper on things, you know?
Just a touch.
Like, right?
So Bryce's day gets utterly ruined when she comes home to find her friends murdered in her apartment.
Just literal bloody piles all over her apartment. It's fine.
Really gross, yeah. So she gets tasked to find the murderer by the governor and archangel of the city, and he assigns her this bodyguard partner named Hunt, who's a fallen angel, and yeah, this is their thing. They gotta go solve the murder. So while this isn't like an actual like murder mystery novel, that's our main plot line that we're following.
That's the plot line we're told that we are following, correct?
Well, yes. That's true. So that's kind of what happened, part one, part two. By the end of part two, there's also the horn, Luna's horn,
yes.
Is a thing that they're that kind of gets intertwined in this, where the Fae King wants the horn back, and so he sends his son, the Prince of the Fae, who is also Bryce's brother, but
mm-hmm.
It's a secret.
Secret
anyways,
brother.
They
secret
yeah.
brother.
Secret, 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 secret brother. We're also Avatar fans.
Clearly.
Anyways. So the brother gets sent to go find it, and then these two mysteries are kind of intertwined, and that's kind of where we left off, and they suspect that Danica's mother, Sabine, might know more than she's letting on.
And that's kind of where we started off. And
yes.
Then sort of the plot from there,
it
a lot happens.
It's really crazy. Really...
I know you've got some
fast,
slightly more organized bullet points than I do.
I have bullet points, but... What I should do at some point is post these bullet points somewhere because they're very short and random. So,
mm-hmm.
But I will put them into complete thoughts for this podcast, basically, instead of just saying Sabine's sus. So Sabine is suspicious. So they have to go and find out what she knows. Bryce and Hunt are going to go find out what she knows, but Hunt has this connection, who is a merman, and so they
He's
go talk
to him.
He's
a hot merman, because everyone in the city
everyone's
is hot.
Hot in this city, by the way. So the merman is hot, they go ask him what he knows, and he's like, let me see what I can find out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't learn a lot from him, so
right.
They have to go talk to Sabine herself. But they can't do it straight up because she hates them, and she'll be very, very suspicious and mad at them. So
they don't really learn a lot from that either.
They don't. It's just a really
It's basically a series of
time.
Them not learning a lot until all of a sudden...
I mean, Hunt gets attacked by the demon.
Yes,
it's a
does.
Thing that happens. He just, out of nowhere, gets attacked in the park or something. And
mm-hmm.
he gets hurt, and that's a problem.
But then they discover the existence of this drug.
Yes.
Which name
the synth.
The
which
synth,
is,
yes.
synthetic magic, basically.
Right. And basically the idea is that it gives humans extraordinary power, and it gives Vanir also affects them similarly.
Yeah. So for humans, it would give them power that would rival a Vanir, but mm-hmm. if a Vanir takes it, it's going to give them
maximum insane... overdrive.
Yeah. It's over 9,000 or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, that sort of power. And it's a bad time. It's a bad trip, guys.
People in this universe aren't powerful enough already.
Right.
But...
anyways, that's the thing.
So that becomes a key player, and then maybe Danica's a dealer, maybe she's not, maybe she's a druggie, maybe she's not. And then... yeah. We discuss...
well, there's also this point where we figured out it's two demons or whatever, so the... because yeah. the wounds are different. So
the Crystallos demon...
the Crystallos demon attacked not the Hunt, one who, but it's not...
who murdered Danica.
One,
and
right.
The,
so now right. we're like, oh, two demons, what?
Exactly. Two demons yeah. and drugs, and we're losing our minds, and then the summit happens?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that happens before
but not important.
The summit. It's not too, I mean, Hunt loses his wings, that's kind of awful.
That is kind of terrible.
And Danica Bryce logs into Danica's computer and finds, and then she figures out these clues to find video footage of tests that her company was running on, like, synth, you know?
Right.
So she finds footage of this and learns, oh, wow, this is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And
basically,
then...
humans taking synth, they'll get, or human-adjacent veneer,
yeah.
I think, is kind of the idea. When
it
they
was,
take synth.
Yeah, it was on a human. And then they
yes.
sent in some veneer to go, like, fight it, basically.
Right. So they basically injected this human with the synth, and they sent veneer to go fight it. Human was able to tear them into shreds, into piles, which is the descriptor used on Danica and her pack. But then at the very end... of each, I think there were three trial subjects. At the very end of
yeah.
each trial, the human then shredded themselves.
Yeah.
Into piles, and so she finds that, and it's no bueno. And then
yeah.
Therian,
no bueno.
Our merman friend, pops up again, and is like, hey, there's a drug deal going on, let's go.
Yeah.
And then who do we see
at
the
drug deal?
None but the Viper Queen, who has
yeah.
told us that she does not deal in this, which is,
of course,
objectively false. And then we see Hunt.
Yeah.
There
it is.
Athalar. In all of his wingless glory.
Yep, pretty much.
Along with Vic, the Wraith.
And Justinian, his angel buddy. And then Micah
shows
up.
Micah! But to fuck it all
to
up.
To bust them.
But he's not busting the Viper Queen. Oh no.
Nope, he's busting the angels.
He's busting Hunt and Justinian and Vic.
Because apparently they thought they could arrange a coup.
Exactly.
By getting the synth and... finding enough people, and then throwing over the angels again, even though they failed 200 years ago.
Exactly. They've done this before with a lot more people, and they failed, but they thought that this was going to work. More
yeah.
on that later.
Supposedly, Hunt went to stop them, though, after he saw what this did, and was like, no, I just went to stop them. I wasn't going to do it. He gets arrested anyways. So Fury shows up on this barge and takes Bryce away from it all, and that's kind of where we were... By the end of Act 3, that's when we were told that Danica was addicted to synth, and
yeah.
she took it and she killed the whole pack and herself.
Right.
So that's all that happens in Act 3.
And then Act 4.
Act 4, the entirety of Act 4 is just
the entire last half of this book is a motherfucking clusterfuck.
It just goes real crazy, and it
like, I wish there was a better
so
way
much.
To explain the plot than what we're currently doing, but really, this is just how random it is. I don't think there's really a concise way to put it. So here we are in Act 4. And then finally, the summit, which has been looming over everybody, has been happening. Vic and Justinian are dead. I don't
know
if I covered that.
They get killed off because they were...
rebellion.
Yeah, rebellion. Hunt does not get killed off.
No.
Yet he's in prison because there's a different plan for him.
Of course. Because we can't murder the fictional Bay.
Right.
There's a fate worse than death for him.
There is.
He is given back to Sandrael, who is the archangel who was his owner... prior to Micah,
who
was a terrible person.
Was who he was fighting against in that
Angel
Rebellion.
Correct.
Yeah, so.
And he was in love with their twin sister, who she killed, and it's all another
yeah.
clusterfuck.
So
and
he
then,
gets given back to her, and that's
And then
awful.
The summit!
And then the summit happens, and all these...
And basically all these people walk into the room, and then and then shit happens that I'm not paying attention to, because I don't give a fuck. And then Jessica is like, oh, can we stream what's on my phone? To the big screen, and then this shit straight up turns into the Hunger Games.
It does.
It is straight up the Hunger Games. Because what just ends up streaming is Bryce. Micah has confronted Bryce in the gallery.
Mm-hmm. And he said he has to go do a meeting or something.
Yeah, in the middle of the summit.
In the middle of the summit that happens every, 10 years or something. And he's like the governor of this city. He's like,
he's a very important person.
He just nopes off to go talk to Bryce Quinlan, who is in her sweats and eating takeout in the gallery.
Exactly.
Mourning over Hunt because breakup feels.
Exactly. And then she brings him wine and cheese. And then Micah does the big, bad, evil guy thing. And,
he does.
Lays out
his
evil
plan. Whole speech.
And instead of doing anything about it, everyone at the summit is just like,
watching.
No.
Yeah.
They're just watching this happen.
So we're just, as the reader, we are reading this as it's being televised. Literally, that's what's happening, is we're watching it through the people at the summit who are watching it on TV.
And not doing a goddamn thing.
Micah is like, by the way, you're the horn, Bryce. And she's like, what you talking about? But apparently, Danica ground up the horn into
which
powder.
Which she did steal.
Which she did steal. She ground up the horn into powder and laced it in the ink.
Of a tattoo.
Of a tattoo on Bryce's back.
Mm-hmm.
When she was drunk.
Yes.
And Micah is like, well, I'm gonna power up the horn by shooting lightning into your back. Or whatever power
or whatever,
he has.
Yeah,
whatever power
Micah
he has.
Doesn't
he doesn't have lightning.
No,
he doesn't have
lightning.
But he's just like, I'm just gonna blast power at your back and use the horn. And
exactly.
She was like, excuse me?
Exactly.
Right.
I think the phrase used was blow, which is entirely comical for its own reasons. But, so basically...
He wants to be powerful, because that's what everyone wants.
Because that's what everyone wants.
And he's not powerful enough already.
Clearly. And then...
He wants to open a portal to other worlds.
Right. But Danica had, meddled, because meddling kids?
Yeah.
And so she wasn't a junkie.
She
injected
wasn't.
Her with the synth. And then she did kill everybody, and then herself.
Yeah.
And then... So her and Micah are basically in, this death match in the gallery, while Lehaba's watching.
Yep. Pretty much.
And Syrinx is there.
And at some point, Micah just throws Syrinx into this tank with this old ancient creature, then Nock.
Which was just randomly introduced in the middle of part 3 at some point.
It's a scary creature. And then, so Syrinx just gets thrown into that tank, and Bryce jumps in to go save him.
Because Syrinx can't swim.
Nope.
And then, so Bryce saves him, but at the risk of, getting her leg all fucked up.
And just getting...
And then Micah's locked in the bathroom. By Lehaba.
Yes, that's what happens.
And then Lehaba breaks the tank, which note that Lehaba can't touch water because she's fire. Obviously, she would die. And so she breaks the tank, and then the whole thing floods. Lehaba dies. The Nock dies.
She
Micah.
She sacrifices herself. But it gives Bryce enough time to run to Jessica's office and assemble that rifle that's behind her desk.
Exactly.
And by the way, Bryce is a sharpshooter.
We
missed that part. Bryce is a sharpshooter now, and a weapon specialist, low-key, because her dad, Randall, not the Autumn King,
was
a sharpshooter, and so he taught her everything he knows.
Right.
And so she's amazing at weapons, by the way. And so
she didn't know.
Yeah. So she puts a bullet through Micah's head, and then uses Ganica's sword that was hiding out of the gallery, and hacks him up in all these
pieces.
And then she lights him on fire. And then vacuums up the ashes.
With a shot back. And if you're confused, same.
A lot happened
but
there.
But shit you not.
But, Micah also injected her with synth, though, before all this happened.
That's true.
So that, because synth repairs the horn, that's the thing. So
yeah, synth
repairs
the
horn.
But only
the
Starborn.
And now the horn is on Bryce's back. So he's like, I'm going to repair the horn by injecting you with synth, and then I'm going to use the horn.
But the horn can be used by anyone who is not Starborn, which is some Fae tradition, which Rune's supposed to be Starborn, but apparently Rune's not.
Well, he is. Because there can be multiple Starborns. So he is, but he only has a little bit of power. But guess who else is Starborn?
None other but Bryce Quinlan!
Yeah,
our
that's
extra
right.
special.
And she has a lot of Starborn power.
So she's
basically,
the only one who
she probably has
Starborn.
90% of it, and Rune has 10%.
I'd go as far as say, 99.8%.
I would, and then Rune has 0.2%. He can do like a tiny speck of light, and Bryce
can be all telepath. He can communicate through minds because he and Hunt are like talking across the room at the summit while they're watching this televised shit.
Yeah, that just happens too. And the other thing of note is that the synth, there's an antidote too.
Yes.
Because that it's created from the venom of the Crystallis.
Yes,
of the Crystallis. So when Bryce got scratched or bitten the leg or whatever, and she's been having these leg pains for eternity.
Half of a book. Yeah. She doesn't mention through the first half of the book. The first half, it's one of my notes. I was like, scar pains her? Question mark?
It's mentioned a little loosely. But when they get the venom out of her leg, that stops hurting, and then now it's used to make an antidote, and she just happened to get sent a vial of the antidote, and then she put it in Jessica's safe, so when she's loading this rifle, she also shoots back the antidote. So the synth doesn't kill her. Yep. So it's all very convenient.
And then they all think that Micah's thing didn't work.
Yeah,
but that's not true. It did. And, like, all these gates over the city, like, portals open up or some shit. And then basically
all these demons start flooding into the city.
Basically, this book turns into, like, Mission Impossible 27 or something stupid like that. And, like, I'm going to be frank with you. Like, I couldn't read it. I was just, like...
A lot's happening.
Skimming the pages. Because I was just like, now there's helicopters. And, like, all this other shit. And then, meanwhile, while this is happening, Hunt is being... the med witch who developed the venom, or antidote, rather, and ejected the venom. She's actually the witch queen now.
Yep. She was just being sneaky about it, but she is the witch queen, and she can actually remove Hunt's halo.
Exactly.
And
free him.
Yeah.
So that way he's no longer a slave. So she does both of those things.
So that he can kill Sandriel, the other archangel. So
which
now
he
has
does.
Two dead archangels.
Just casually, over the span of like 20 pages, two archangels dead. And then Hunt tries to join this massive fray, and then Hunt basically like jumps on top of Bryce to save her, and then Hunt basically is torn into shreds, and he's just like twitch, 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 lying dying on the ground, and then Bryce is like, oh no, I need to make the drop.
Yep.
But she can't make the drop because she needs an anchor, and no one's there to anchor her, and she's just like, please, somebody anchor me. And then who shows up but the last fleeting light of Danica's spirit.
Yes. They can speak through the gates,
mm-hmm.
by the way. If you, like, hold your hand to, like, the stone or something, it connects you to the other ones. And
mm-hmm.
So, meanwhile, everyone in the city is hunkering down to get in the bunkers or the shelters mm-hmm. or whatever, and they close at a certain time, so everyone's running to get in these, but then the Fae and the wolves are being assholes about it and are just like, no, we protect our stations like we're told to. And Bryce would be like, but the humans need help because they aren't as strong mm-hmm. as us and we have to protect them. And they're just like, no, no. And she's like, well, I will then. Mm-hmm. So she takes Danica's sword in one hand and the rifle in the other and she's just going at
like
it.
Like I said, the station like, this
she's just
impossible.
Going at it.
Just...
She gets that gate, makes the drop by Danica's last little seed of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And
but it's not a real anchor, so is she going to come back? Oh, no.
She's
but,
not supposed to because she's not alive, so
but
she
does
can't really do it.
Because she's the main character and she's special.
She does it, and then at the last minute, well, and supposedly her first light,
mm-hmm.
well, that's the thing, is she was like, if I make the drop, the first light
will
be bright enough to
Hunt and close the gates.
Close, or
shit.
To, yeah, get rid of the demons or whatever enough, because... First of all, she let out her starlight from being the starborn thing, and that was like, wah, and it closed the one gate. But now there's like six other gates. So now she's like, if I make the drop and then the light, there'll be enough light to chase off all the demons. But then the light healed Hunt, so when, like, right at the last second when she's trying to ascend back up for the drop, he's alive enough to actually be her anchor for, like, that last second. Power of love, people.
Yeah, power of love!
And then... they survive, and they all make it.
And they all make it, and they don't have sex, because her mom calls.
They never have sex. Everything interrupts them, every time. And then angels of all angels are mm-hmm. just like, we see what you did there, it's kind of a mess, so we'll just let it slide, but you better know your place and keep low. And she's like, alright, cool, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Hunt
is free, free. And then we have a little bit of an epilogue that we can talk about later.
So if that sounded like a clusterfuck to you, there's literally no concise way to put that.
There was a lot of things happening. notable new characters that we have. Yes. There's only a couple, luckily. We introduced a lot of the characters in the last book. You know, Bryce, Hunt, our mains, and we had Rune, and all these people.
Just about all these other people. Which opinions... Which my opinions on some of them have changed, but we can discuss that a little bit later, too.
We meet Therion, the merman, in this... In the other two parts, but he's new. He's, like we said, super hot.
But what else is new?
Super powerful.
Yeah.
Merman. He's Hunt's buddy-ish.
He's got, like, tiger stripes.
He does, which is cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they find out some info from him, and then he takes Bryce out to that thing, that drug deal that's going down on the river. Mm-hmm. And he's also at the summit. All these people we've met are at the summit, basically, because they're all very powerful.
And then also new, we have Hypaxia, who is the witch queen, who is also the med witch.
The med witch is
just
like
on the
scene. Who
is having a will they, won't they with Rune.
Yeah, but she's just on the scene when these demon attacks happen a lot, and so she's just kind of like flying under the radar for a while, but then she's at the summit and everyone's just like, wait. Well, and then Rune and Hunter are like, wait, what? She's the actual witch queen. We didn't know. Yeah. Those are our big new characters, I would say.
So, theories. Your theory kind of panned out.
It did. The power of love have a lot to do with it. It didn't necessarily fix the horn.
No.
Because Synth was the thing that fixed the horn. But the power of love saved Bryce's life every single time that she should have died.
Yeah, that's true.
So, when she was making the drop, Danica was there because power of love. She came back up to ascend because Hunt and power of love. Like,
And the jacket. The flash drive that had the pictures of the people doing Sid. Power of love.
So it was really rampant.
It was Danica's password to get into
It was her password to get in the computer. Sabine admits that that's how she got back to life. So through love, all is possible. It is definitely the major theme, I would say, if it boiled down to something that, you know, it's...
I don't know.
I have mixed feelings about being kind of right-ish and, like, how that is the major theme. Like, I understand that all things have a theme that's kind of a universal thing, and that is a very universal statement to say through love all is possible. So I understand that. I respect that. But at the same time, so, like, in one way I feel like it's a classic thing, but in the other way I feel like it's kind of basic.
Yeah. Now I'll get into sort of... I think it fits with the overall style that's presented in this book.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the latter half of this podcast. Because I have emotions. but, yeah. It was... Your theory definitely panned out just a little bit, which is kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
I think my theory...
Well, we didn't really know. Like, we don't know the solution, really, I think, of your theory.
No, I think that my theory is going to be
It's going to be down the road.
Yeah.
So,
which I knew going in, but there's no updates.
Yeah.
Except for Rune might have a thing for Hypaxia.
Maybe. And they're supposed... And his dad wants them to get married. Oh? But then Hypaxia was like, I don't plan on getting married, bro. And he was like, yep, cool. Awkward. Yeah. Like, he didn't necessarily, like, I don't think Rune was, like, into it, but then he was, like, kind of into Hypaxia before he knew that she was.
Right. Yes.
And then it's like, oh, help. And then she was just like, yeah, I'm good. And he's like, yeah, that's cool. Well, I'm just gonna sit here and...
Finger guns and back away.
Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, we don't know, because your theory of him being the last of the bloodline...
Of him just not having children.
And then
maybe he's just hung up on Hypaxia for the rest of his life and then doesn't...
I don't know. But the thing is, Bryce is now... She's not recognized as
the
royal bloodline still. She has been revealed as Starborn and more powerful than the Autumn King by, like, 0.2 decibels, but it's still more.
Everyone's more powerful than everyone. And there's no power scale that makes sense in this book.
There isn't. Well, it's funny, I pointed out a couple of spots where I was like, actually, Rune seems to be at the bottom of this power scale because he gets beat up by Danica, and he gets beat up by,
everybody.
Like, poor guy.
Like, the only thing Rune has to be special is the fact that he's starboard. And
then Bryce is telepathy, like, at least. Yeah.
And then Bryce is like, surprise, I'm starboard. Surprise. And then at the point where that's revealed, like, I think it's through Hunt's vision that we see that happen. And the only thing he sees on Rune's face is just sorrow. I'm just like, oh, damn. Not envy, not doubt, just sorrow. And I'm like, yes. Well, shit.
But the thing was, like, but she didn't, she kept it a secret because she knew that it was important to him.
Right, which is still
but
sad.
It is sad, yeah. And that's the thing is, like, later on when they reconcile, or when they're, like, in the end scene, he was like, you know I wouldn't have cared, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, well, I thought you did, because you were always so happy when you talked about,
mm-hmm.
you know, powers and being special or whatever. And she was like, well, I couldn't take that away, especially because your dad only cares about power, and so mm-hmm. he would be mean to you if you didn't have any power at all.
Which you don't.
Yeah.
Sorry, so, bro.
Right? It's, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. So those were our theories, and we're gonna have to, if we, I don't know if you're gonna want to continue reading after this, but if we want to figure out how that theory pans out, then
this is gonna be a longer, yeah.
We'll have to keep reading the other books.
Alright, so back to my favorite part of the episode. So, the first part definitely had a lot of my observations, and I'd like to point out that there's been an update on one of those observations, and I cannot be more excited.
Which one?
Clothes.
Oh, okay. I had a couple updates that have to do with this too, but you go first.
So, first of all, it has shown that there are different things, like, specified for different species.
There are, yeah.
Like, it mentions the office chair, which yes, has, like, a deep yes, divot I for wings.
And wrote that down.
Like, and I was just like, aha, things are different for people with different anatomy. Page 480. When Bryce is going to dress Hunt, mm-hmm. she pulls up the shirt and looks at the wing slats, and it's just, oh. like, too complicated. So there are wing slats. Yeah,
okay, I missed that part, but I'm glad that you caught it.
There are wing slats.
Yeah.
I would like to formally announce
I did that notice I was correct. You were. And I did notice that in the med bay, when she goes to get the surgery or whatever, there's, mm-hmm. like, attachments or whatever to the medical bed that flip out or, you know, whatever, for different to accommodate different species. So there are accommodations in various places for different species.
Yes.
So that is cool.
So I still do not know what a department store looks like.
No, we still
like
know that,
universe,
of course.
Which I would still love to know. But I felt validation. That indeed, wing slats exists.
They do.
Other things that I want to point out that I found important. Why does Hunt want to lick Bryce's toes? Page 356.
I think I just purposely skipped that, perhaps?
And then, like, 30 pages later, he says to Bryce while she's in the shower, because there's a lot of, like, awkward bathroom banter in this book, especially in part 3. He's just like, don't forget to clean between your toes.
Oh, no.
I just wrote a little note. I'm like, is it because you want to lick them?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I purposely tried to breeze through the awkward kind of sexy moments going on. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know.
Which,
about this.
Let's be real. A lot of the sexy moments were real awkward.
They were
real awkward. If I had a nickel for every time it's implied that Hunt jerked in.
Oh, no.
In Bryce's apartment.
Yeah.
I'd have a lot of nickels.
Boys are not impressive.
No! Boys are
and
gross.
We already knew this, but to have it written down, I'm just like, I don't need to know
okay,
it again.
But like... And this sort of goes, like, my problem with all the sexy scenes, my problem with this book, period, full stop. Show me, don't tell me. Like, so much of this book just felt like being slapped in the face with a textbook, like all of the info dumps. And then she has a tendency to tell me that things happened, instead of showing me how those things happened. And she's like, this is important, but instead of, like, showing me that it's important, you know? It's like, because as writers, we could spend, the way we show things are important is we spend time on them.
Right.
And even in significant things. Like, we spend time detailing that amulet that's going to come into play later. Instead of being like, this amulet is for protection. Bryce wears it all the time. And it's not my biggest thing in the sexy scenes, specifically, is that she did that a lot, too. Like, if you want me to thirst for a character, show me why I should thirst for them. because I'm probably Fair. Going to get there. If you give me reasons. But I got so fucking tired of thirsting over Bryson Hunt. I was just so done. I was like, I don't care that you want to get in each other's pants. I don't care that Hunt has a stiffy thinking of Bryce. I don't care. I'm just like, because there are so many better ways to write sexual tension in characters.
Yeah, yeah. And there were points. The thing is, like, the banter itself a lot of the times, I was okay with. Or, like, especially in the beginning when we're first there.
In the beginning, the banter was great.
It was really good. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple moments, even when they're getting into, like, once in a while there's a one-off or two lines that I'm like, mm-hmm. hey, that was pretty good, you know, mm-hmm. for their banter. But the actual actions themselves and the detailing of what's happening, it doesn't flow for me, especially. I was just like, this is
like,
just
like, there
awkward.
Was one Stevie scene, and I was like, oh, okay. But only one. And I was just like, eh. Which is, like, moderately disappointing.
Yeah, like, and especially part three, it ramped up a lot. So part three, I felt like it was every other chapter, we were mm-hmm. getting some implied thirst or, you know, something going on. And I was just like, I just wanted them to just do it already so we could get it over with
and
move on to the murder mystery that is happening here, y'all. There was
right?
a murderer on the loose and y'all just want to get in each other's pants. Like, please.
Just fuck so we can get it over with.
That's where I was. I was like,
and then the worst part is that we would ping pong between their heads. Like, we would be, like,
True.
Hunt thirsting over Bryce. And then we go over to Bryce doing the exact same moment, thirsting over Hunt. And then back to Hunt.
But they can't be together. And they can't because it's...
But the only reason they can't
no.
be together...
I know.
...is because Micah said no.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
like, not really...
Fuck Micah. It's not a real reason.
Right.
And, like, Bryce doesn't know that Micah said no. Bryce
yeah.
doesn't have any real reason to be not having it with Hunt. But
I guess.
Whatever.
And also, like, it never happens. Anytime. Like, there's so many sexy scenes, but they never actually get there because they always
get
interrupted.
Almost
get
there. They almost get there after Hunt has his wings chopped off, and then Bryce gets off. And then she's like, oh, you're bleeding. No orgasm for you. And then I'm just like, come on. Like, that's rude. Just saying.
Yeah, you know, he's bleeding, and then she's like, well, we're gonna stop now. And then
okay, but
later
like, he's
when
only
they
breathing.
Try to...
He's only bleeding because she pushed him back onto the couch. Like, there are other positions where, feasibly, they could get it on. But.
And then later at the end, when they're just about to, then her mom calls and interrupts, like.
And then we have this awkward moment of Hunt, like, piggybacking between not aroused and very aroused. And then he decides to call Isaiah. It's just like.
Right.
The end is a very weird sequence of events. Important to note that. Hunt never got around to licking Bryce's toes.
Yeah, I missed that every time it happens, apparently, so I feel like hopefully a third time I would have noticed something about it, but maybe not.
Also important to note that some of the transitions into sexy, not sexy times are strange, i.e. the ponies in the closet.
Yeah.
Like, Ginny also has ponies in her closet, just... throwing it out there.
I do. I was a horse girl. So, I mean, I could relate to Bryce in that moment. I was like, oh, yeah, she gets ponies too. Jelly Jubilee.
Oh.
And a lot of things that interrupt them from getting anywhere, they just, like, slam in the face, interrupt them. Like, Sabine's just like, what are you guys doing here? And whoa, whoa, whoa. Phone call. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're bleeding. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Exactly.
Full stop. Like, every single time. It just straight up gets interrupted by some slap in the face moment, basically.
Yeah. And sort of going, using an awkward segue, but Sabine, when they visited the den.
I did want to talk about that. Yeah.
That was a very weak moment for me.
Yeah.
Because it was basically pointless. Like, I feel like the only reason it exists was so that way we could see Ethan again and be like, oh, they did have a falling out. But even that didn't really have a resolution. Like, it was basically, Sabine was like, where's my sword?
Right. I don't think the purpose was to, like, again, we didn't find out any new information, but the purpose was to bring in Amelie, this character who is not that important, but she catalyzes a couple events, and then she is the catalyst for Hunt getting his wings cut off, which
That's
leads
true.
To him being on the barge and or
because
Bryce not
Hunt
recognizing him right
away.
Decides to be an
alpha hole.
He does decide to be an alpha hole and go fight her, and... That gets him in trouble. It gets his wings cut off. And then Bryce doesn't immediately recognize him on the barge because he doesn't have wings.
That makes sense! I didn't put that together!
Yeah, that was in there. Yeah, she... then, like, as they get closer, she's like, oh my gosh, it's Hunt. She's like, I should have known from, like, the posture or whatever, mm-hmm. but, like, without the wings, it just wasn't quite as immediately obvious. So, yeah, that's what that is. And then Ethan shows up at the end and does help Bryce when all the boomers in the summit are like, no, we don't want to change our positions and whatever. We're going to follow our protocols. And all the young, the millennials are like, no, we got to help the people. Social justice. And so then Ethan just like, nah, screw you, Sabine. I'm going to go help. And so I think that the real purpose of that was to see Amelie and Ethan, not okay. really about learning. But the whole Ethan thing was, it was rough, I will say. Because, again, we talked about the falling out a little bit in the first episode.
So I remember you had
but I didn't really read it as a falling out. So reading that, I was like, okay. Yeah. But it stung. I was just like, ouch.
Important to note that there are otters in this book.
Oh my gosh, yes. That's so important.
The mer people have messenger otters.
Yeah, and like people, I guess, yeah, you can just send messenger otters as like a thing. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, like what, it's Therion just like sends this otter to Bryce or whatever. And I was just,
and
like,
it's wearing a cute little vest!
It is, so I'm just like, alright, he wins. That's it. Who's Hunt? What?
Hunt who? Yeah. I only stand
no.
Therion.
He sent an otter.
Same.
Pretty much.
Important to note, I've pet an otter before. Can confirm they are very soft. Ooh. But also kind of vicious.
Yeah, okay.
They're related to wolverines, and we can only interact with them, like, through an acrylic screen.
Oh.
Because they're a liability.
Wow, okay. Man, otters are so cute. Like, I love them, but I've never petted one.
They're bigger than you think they are. Like, sea
otters,
they're bigger than you.
Yeah, they're like, sea dogs.
They're pretty chunky.
Chunky. Little chunkies. But they're real cute.
Mm-hmm. So,
Speaking of cute?
Hunt who?
Oh, speaking of Hunt who.
Hunt who. Okay, so... Lock phone. Put phone down. Listen. His character took a straight-up swan dive for me. So, basically, the transition that we're supposed to believe, where Hunt decided to use synth or whatever to take down people, is when he was given a contract by Micah to take down some drug dealers.
Yes.
And then basically he's putting this plan in action like a matter of a few weeks later.
Oh yeah. That did not pan out for
like,
me either.
I feel like Hunt has been portrayed to be smarter than that.
Yeah.
Like what the fuck? Like even if his intentions are good.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. Like crush the monarchy. Like do it. I support you.
But with three people.
Exactly!
Like, they
what
said
was
they,
your
would,
plan?
They would get other people to do it, but, like, it was... Mm.
There was only three people on that boat, and even Isaiah was like, "Duh, fuck, man."
Yeah.
Like, it just... It was so sloppy.
Yeah.
It was so sloppy. And there wasn't even any hints that Hunt was considering, like, doing something, and he had been loyal to Bryce and had been sharing information, but like, no, he knew and then didn't tell her, and that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
And at the end, he ends up killing Sandrell like he wanted, and then he ends up basically with Bryce.
Right.
But that doesn't absolve him from being a fucking idiot.
No.
Like,
no, it doesn't.
Like, I'm sorry, unpopular opinion, maybe, but Hunt deserved to, like, to feel this one out. Like, he deserves to experience punishment for these decisions.
I mean, yeah. I don't know if it's unpopular opinion either, but I don't really like Hunt that much. Like, he's okay, but...
I sort of did...
He's, like, in the middle for me of, like, characters that I like.
I took a ride with Hunt. Because I was just like, I can get behind the big guy with wings thing. But then he's kind of a dick. But then he's kind of not. But then he's damaged, and I want to protect him. Mm-hmm. But then he's an idiot! Like, there's no way to get around that. And, like, there's no absolution for that. He's not absolved of that. No. And he's just forgiven, and things are fine and dandy. It's like, no, he knew what happened, and he didn't tell you.
Right.
He was going behind your back.
Yeah.
He was going to use this drug that clearly fucked up your best friends, with no regards to you. Like, no. Hunt can go get fucked. Not literally. But.
The whole That whole barge scene in it.
I was very angry. And Ginny and I try not to talk about these books too much.
Yeah, we're so trying we not give to. You,
but I was angry.
Yeah, and and we were in a place again where we weren't reading it at the exact same pace. Mm-hmm. Like, I was reading, like, I had this thing where I turned through a lot of it, and then you were, like, kind of not as, definitely weren't as far, and I was just, like, going through a lot of emotions
right.
all at once. Like, the thing was, I feel like for the entirety of part four, and even through part three, it was, like, a solid 150 pages, my head was just exploding.
Yeah.
And reeling. Because yeah. There was just so much happening.
Exactly, and, like, we went from, like, point B to, like, point Q.
We did, right.
And it felt like a complete left turn from wherever the hell we were supposed to be going on this story.
Everything just happened really quickly, like, and at right at the end, you know?
Okay, so I think that's kind of a good segue into some of my criticisms mm-hmm. and, like, what I overall thought of the book. I'm going to be honest. I did not like the second half of this book at all. At all. And I was really disappointed because I love Throne of Glass. And I loved mm-hmm. the second one in that series. And I was really hoping to use this as a springboard to sort of, like, get back into that and finish that series out. And I know that Sarah J. Maas is capable of putting out good stories.
Right.
But this one fell super flat for me. Like, the first half, I was still kind of holding on to it. Like, I can read a whole book of banter. Mm-hmm. I can. If that had stayed strong, then maybe I would have enjoyed it more. But just, again, one of my criticisms in the first part was the inconsistency and characterization, and that definitely came out to play for me in the back half of this book.
With Hunt and the not being with smart. Hunt
and with Micah and with all of these things just sort of happening and not in ways that we'd come to expect from these characters. And, like, even the Autumn King had this really weird, almost positive interaction with Bryce.
The Autumn King is, like, strange.
Like, and story-wise, like, when we were trying to tell a simple summary, like, there's no simple summary. Like, so much shit was just happening. All these
things that just happen.
Exactly. And it wasn't really done well, in my opinion. And I love seeing YA authors take on the adult genre because I love seeing them take on, like, more mature themes.
Yeah.
But I don't think we got that. I think we got YA novel plus some really awkward sex.
That's what I would agree with.
And
that.
A lot of language. Like, I feel like if I were to cut that out, I would have a slightly more coherent story that would fit very well into my YA shells. But this one, it didn't land for me. And because the characters are so inconsistent, and because there's no power scale, which is another thing that we've talked about, where everyone is more powerful, there's no consistency mm-hmm. throughout this novel ever. And the timeline's a hot mess.
The timeline, I can't follow either. Like, I don't even remember how long we had to solve this mystery before right. it happened, but it didn't feel like it was that long, you know?
And even Hunt losing his wings, he was like, it'll take me weeks to regenerate them, and then all of a sudden he's able to fly.
Yeah. And, like, and the whole, you know, we talked about the whole barge thing about how he planned this, like, really short notice, and then
exactly.
he changed
no
his mind really quick,
to
too,
plan
and then,
I don't
know.
You can't plan a coup in, like, two weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks, and then, by the way, I changed my mind 3 days before this was going down.
Right?
And, yeah, the timelines, for me, I did not follow either. Like, I definitely thought they had, like, a month, maybe 2 months before the summit, and I feel like so much happened that there's no way all of this could have happened in the span of that time. And even the romance, like, to happen that quickly, it's just like, whoa. I mean, I understand when you're facing the end of the world and stuff, like, things move, but mm-hmm. also.
But, like, they were horny for each other the entire goddamn time. It's like they were horny, and then they were like, oh yeah, we can stuff some feelings in there. And then, which I did appreciate seeing Hunt's vulnerability. I think that was one of the stronger parts of the book. And if I had to pick a favorite part, that might be one of them.
Okay.
When
the shower thing, when he comes back from killing.
Like, that whole scene. Like, he wasn't expecting Bryce to be there, which is a stupid as fuck premise.
It's her apartment.
because yeah, it's her blood.
Of course, like, she's gonna be there.
Like, go wash off this blood. You're gonna do it at this apartment.
But he's like, she's probably asleep. It's like, okay, but.
Okay, but clearly she cares about you.
Yeah.
And, like, you were just, like, fucking off, so. But, anyway. But I liked seeing that, you know, that dimension of character. But then, like. For what? Was kind of the end.
Yeah.
Like, the entirety of part three, or half of part three and the entirety of part four is one giant clusterfuck.
It's, and, yeah,
it was frustrating, because it's like, maybe I could look past that if I had connected with the characters mm-hmm. enough, or if there had been, like, something in there that kept me going, but I know that you're probably interested in keeping up with the series, but I don't know if I could be bothered.
I don't know. Like, I'm kind of torn on it, because I wouldn't say that I, like, disliked it probably as much as you, but
yeah.
I definitely have mixed feelings on it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the characters more than, like, I've had other series where I have not connected with the characters at all, and I've connected with these, like, a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Not as much as I would like to.
Right.
Like, I do like Bryce. I like Hunt-ish. I really wanted to like Rune. I like him, but I feel like there's not a lot there.
No, there's
That's
not.
The problem.
He's very flat.
Like, yeah, like, I really wanted to like him, but all his characteristic is protective brother, and that's the only characteristic he has.
Everyone except for Hunt and Bryce are very one-dimensional.
Right, right.
And even Hunt and Bryce have many dimensions, but they're inconsistent.
Yeah, right.
And I hate to use this term, because saying that something reads like a fan fiction, like, in a lot of ways that can be a good thing, because
yeah.
people actively seek out and read fan fiction. But this reads like fan fiction in a not great way.
Mm.
You know? And just, like, there wasn't a... Or let me say this. It reads like a fan fiction that was meant to be a one-shot,
mm.
and then people kept liking it, so they just kept making more.
I see. Okay.
So it's like there wasn't... I feel like the outline and the structure isn't very clear.
Yeah.
And so we just ended up with, like, and we're rushing to get to the end.
It did feel very, like I said, my head was just, like, fireworks, explosions for, like, a whole 150 pages, basically,
yeah.
at the end. And I was like, there's too much happening. So from that, like, with everything that happens, on one hand, like, from a writing standpoint, there is something I appreciate about how everything actually did have a purpose.
But did it, though?
But as a reader, I was like, there's too much here having a purpose. Like, not every little thing. Like, why did we have to... Like, why did you... Because it all got thrown at the last minute. Like, I was like, whoa. We got all these little pieces throughout, and, like, it's cool that they all connect, but at the same time, there's, like, a bajillion pieces that are all connecting. And when... A lot of times, you only have, like, a few things that matter, you know?
Well, I think...
Like...
I think the phenomenon that you're describing are... at least how I interpret that same feeling, is that as a reader, I want to feel that I figured something out.
Yeah. But there...
But everything that was important was given to me on a silver platter. Like, here's the rune. This is important. Or here's the horn. Not the... The rune is a person.
He's important, too.
Is he, though? Is he, though?
Shout out to Rune, man.
Shout out to Rune. I want to love you, but there's not a lot there.
I want to love you, but... Yeah, it's,
So, but the horn, it's like, horn, this is important.
That's true, yeah.
And you're given, it's the show me, don't tell me, again.
Yeah.
I'm being told that everything's important, so everything that I've been told is important has come up. There wasn't one thing where I was like, aha, I didn't know that was going to be important, you know?
I mean, there were, that's the thing is, I'm saying, so I'm, yes and no. So, like, I'm taking it from a similar perspective. So, like, have you ever heard, like, the Chekhov's gun thing, where it's, like, a writing principle? Like, if you talk about the fact that there's a gun on the mantle, a loaded gun on the mantelpiece, you're not supposed to just leave it there and never address it again, because
right.
now you've said there's a loaded gun in this
yes,
room.
Yes, correct.
So, she brought up things a lot. Like, there are certain things, like you said that you never noticed that Bryce's leg was hurting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's been mentioned a few times, like... It's definitely mentioned more when it's more about to be important, but Bryce's leg hurting is important. And then her amulet is important, and then, like, the Nuck that we get randomly delivered to the gallery is important, and Leva is important, and, you know, Danica's sword being left at the gallery is a thing that ends up happening, and then the fact that her dad's... Like, there's the thing is, like, everything brought it down to the end, but, like, there were... I feel like there were almost too many pieces for that. Like, you know, it's one thing for me to be like, oh my gosh, through love all things are possible, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then to be like, how was I supposed to know that her amulet was going to be so important is a thing that I'm just like... Yeah, I don't know. So, like I said, from a writer's perspective, I appreciate a little bit of the fact that it, like, she didn't just bring up an amulet and then never used an amulet. But from a reader's perspective, I was like, okay, but there were 20 billion things I was supposed to remember.
So I hear you, and I think that the thing with the load of good principle you were bringing up for the writing principle, like, there's a way to do that well,
mm-hmm.
and I don't feel like that this was well executed.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I didn't have questions about any of these things. No, I was told what these things were and what they did. So when they came back around, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Right, right.
Instead of being... There was no...
I'm just saying I think there was too many things, right. too. Like, it was like, oh, First Light. We learned a little bit about this from a blurb here in part one. Mm-hmm. By the way, First Light again. And, oh, hey, remember this one, like, stone that Danica and Bryce touched at this one point in time? I was like, no, I didn't remember that. They're like, by the way, it's not just a plaque. It's also a thing that connects energy or something. Mm-hmm. I was just like, what? So, yeah. It was just, for me, it was just, like, almost there,
mm-hmm.
but not quite, and just too many things.
Yeah.
So I didn't, like, hate it or anything, but I was, it was just, yeah, it was very, I felt like everything was, like, rushed to make all these things happen now, at mm-hmm. part four, when we spent a lot of time just not getting laid for a while.
That's true. I feel like there was a lot of downtime where we could have... Because a lot of the things that ended up being important, like, Synth wasn't introduced until part 3. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
If we had known that Synth was in existence in part 1 and part 2, and just, like, even on the peripherals, I feel like that's the gun principle being done well.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, here's this thing, 100 pages later, it's the linchpin! Surprise, guys!
Yeah.
It's kind of...
Yeah, that's how I felt about things like First Light and mm-hmm. the whole, like, Starborn thing a little bit, even.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the other thing, is, like, Rune's special because he's Starborn, but also, apparently, you can have more than one Starborn in, like, and I'm just like, wait, what? Why?
-10 points of special from Rune.
It's like, oh, man. And then, all of a sudden, Bryce has 98% of the Starborn power, and Rune has 2% of that, and, yeah. Ouch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I will say that, I couldn't put it down at some point, but mm-hmm. I don't think it was necessarily, like, I'm not sure if it was because I wanted to keep reading it in a good way, but it was because of the sheer what is happening-ness
yeah.
of it, that I was like, I can't just stop here because literally the world is exploding right now, so.
I will say that if we weren't recording this podcast, I probably would have stopped shortly after Hunt was just like, yeah, I did it. I bought the drugs.
I was really upset then. I was like, are you kidding? Like, this is...
I probably wouldn't have finished it.
This is definitely not where I thought this was going.
Yeah, it's...
That was a disappointing moment for me.
And the thing is, there's a way to do that bait and switch well, mm-hmm. but you need to leave the breadcrumbs. And...
Yeah. A lot of times, for me, I just felt like just total, like, head snap of, like, whoosh.
It's that car meme.
Yeah, exactly. Of, like, all these things that happen, like, they just happen out of nowhere. Like, even going back to Act 1 and 2, the explosion that just happens mm-hmm. in the club. Boom! Explosion. What? Or, like, there was something before that, too, where I was just like, what? Like, all of a sudden, there's like, oh, yeah, the Micah reveal. It's like, oh, by the way, that bloody piece of crap on the sidewalk that you saved? It was Micah. What?
Should've let him die.
Yeah. Oh, true. You should've let him die. Man, this whole book would have ended way earlier.
He was in debt to her for saving his life. He should've died.
Yeah, yeah. Man, so if Micah had died in Act 1, none of this stuff would have happened. He wouldn't be ash in a vacuum. I mean, to be fair, that is a funny picture. I like that. I'm just like, she's just like straight up demolishes
this archangel. And they're still watching her at the summit. They're just watching Bryce vacuum.
Okay,
no
that's
one's done
part...
shit. They're all just like, guess.
I know.
Now he's dead.
That part I wanted to bring up too was just like, I couldn't decide whether, like, it was an interesting perspective to be like, I
fucking hated it.
We're watching it from, as a spectator, among these spectators. So, like, I understand it, but, like, I wasn't sure I liked it necessarily. Like, just, and it's like,
I was
the characters
to, like,
are echoing.
Popcorn.
Yes. Like, I definitely was expecting that too. Because, like, the characters are echoing reader thoughts, I think, that we're supposed to have as far as, like, Rune being like, why isn't anyone helping her? And, like, randomly.
Well, why
aren't
you
and
helping
then,
her, you shit?
And then, like, all the boomers again are like, no, no helps. And all the millennials are like, get the helicopter. And then this helicopter never comes. And then, yeah. Until, like, after everything has happened. And they're like, now let's get the helicopter. Oh, okay, helicopter now. Like, yeah. Because it's gonna take too long to get there. We're not gonna get there in time. And he's an archangel anyways. What are we gonna do against him? Because all of our powerful people are here. So the people who could get to him quickly are just gonna turn to nothing anyway. So, yeah.
So what would you give this book out of 5?
2.5 to 3.
1.75. Almost gets a second star, but they killed Leheba, so...
Oh, man. Okay, I have to admit I cried at that point. I was just like,
I had lost all faith in this book at
this
point. I
know, you were mad by then, and I... Yeah, I actually cried at a few parts. I cried when Leheba gave herself up.
Mm-hmm.
She was, like, her first act...
For my friends!
Yeah, and her... She's like, my first act as a free person then is going to be... to... do the right thing.
And, like, I wanted to enjoy that part and, like, have the feelings, so I was busy being pissed.
Yeah, I know. I did have the feelings, and I was like, love, no, no.
I remember I texted you when Hunt was buying the drugs. I was just like, what the fuck? And you're just like, and I hadn't even cried yet.
I
was like, Jesus.
Because I mentioned that I cried, actually, a few times. Like, I'm not a big, like, at least recently, I feel like I'm not a big crier at books. But this actually brought me to tears a couple times, which is a little surprising. I did actually cry during Bryce's last word speech to Hunt over the phone, not when she was talking to Hunt, when she was talking about Rune. I was like, because I was invested in that relationship, actually.
Yes,
I was invested in Bryce and Rune. I was like, repair your relationship as siblings because she cares so much and you're just being mean. And then she was like, I always forgave you. And I was like, no, no. There it is. Yeah, so that got me. And then I got a little bit sniffly when they reunited at the end, too. I was like, they did get back to being friends. Yeah. But other than that, yeah, I was like, and I'm not like, as far as the Hunt and Bryce ship goes, I mean, I don't not support it, but I don't, like, I'm not gonna OTP either. Like, that's not...
Hunt has not yet deserved redemption.
Yeah.
And,
like,
Bryce kind of sucks, too. Like,
yeah,
I'm,
I mean, like,
no,
after all the
invested
crap that they've gone through, I'm just like, I mean, you both deserve to be happy, but I don't know if this is what I agree with, but, you know. Like, I understand you guys have been through a lot, but... I mean, the one thing I did like was when we got moments of, you know, you mentioned Hunt's vulnerability as being a good thing, but I liked Bryce's too, actually, a lot. It was one thing that I do think I liked when, I think that SJM mentions, like, there are moments when she has, when she goes back to the den, or there's moments when she has these, or, you know, like, especially when they go to see back in Act 2 or something, that second body that shows up, and it's been a couple of years, and she has this, like, PTSD moment of, whoa, this is not...
I feel like her earlier moments of vulnerability were pretty strong, but I feel like the last half, like, a lot of those moments were weak.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like, after, like, right after the den was kind of a moment where it kind of hit her, and she was like, that was, I did not want to go there ever, type of thing, where I was like, that, you know, that feels like something that makes sense, or you know, right. And she talked about Danica too, about how like when she was celebrating her birthday again, how everyone just like moves on, you know, mm-hmm. after the first year it happens. And I felt like that kind of hit, you know, as someone who's lost someone in my life who is like kind of young, like younger mm-hmm. than you expect someone to die, I was like, that rings true, you know,
right.
some of those feelings that happen. So that part I did appreciate. But I guess we'll just, maybe you won't see how Bryce and whoever Hunt and whoever develops as we go on. I don't know if I will either.
Yeah.
But anyways, at the end of this book, they kind of give us an epilogue.
Yeah.
Showing where this is maybe gonna go.
Which is, I feel like she rushed to tie up all loose ends, so I was really confused when it's just, like, book one of a series. And then we got kind of this vague-ass epilogue where, like, Adis, yeah. who is this demon of hell, who Bryce knows, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
just casually.
Just casually, when she was 13 at the Oracle, he was a cat, and, you know.
She just met him as a cat.
As one is. Like, yeah. As one does. Just, you know, cat.
So, but basically, he's talking to Jessica. They're just talking all ominously about the future.
Yeah.
And about what it all could mean, but I don't know. I still don't know if that was compelling enough for me to.
I don't know either. There was a lot of stuff tied up in this. Yeah, like you said, a lot of the end just got tied up real quick here at the end. So I mm-hmm. think the only real looming things is like that in the epilogue, and then mm-hmm. the thing is we don't know about Rune's prophecy. But
right.
other than that, we kind of learned about everything else that we were.
Yeah.
gonna see going into this. Although I had this moment where. Because you remember you talked about how she never lets the protagonist have the first guy or something?
Yes.
And so when Hunt was supposedly
a drug dude
or whatever, I was like, well, he's gone. And then,
my Hunt.
And then what's his face? Declan comes in and says like the same thing. That
I was like, oh,
here it goes. And then,
I thought about that, too.
Yeah, I wrote down, is he the second guy? Is he the second dude?
But no, now she's shacking up with Hunt.
Yeah.
Who is not absolved.
Speaking of Declan, he's a very convenient character this entire time. Everyone needs a tech guy, apparently. Mm-hmm. Even superhuman beings, just so you know. Tech guy's always important.
I'm just so over all these one-dimensional characters. But, so, kind of a fun question
mm-hmm.
that we had is that we see, like, a lot of different species in the Crescent City. What do you think you would be? What speaks to you, Ginny?
The problem is, like, since I didn't feel it are particularly close to that many of the characters,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I want to be a fae, because Autumn King is kind of the worst. He's like, near the top of the worst people mm-hmm. in this, along with, like, the other big baddies, but,
I'll tell you what, I don't want to be an archangel.
I don't want to be an angel. They all are kind of awful, too. Humans get the low end of everything. Which, by the way, there are humans in Crescent City, which I didn't realize until everyone was panicking where the demons came
right?
in.
Me too.
So, don't want to be a human. Don't want to be... We only met one vampire who got dusted or whatever, basically.
Yeah,
I don't think... How about a mermaid?
Yes!
That's about it. And they do their own thing under the water. They're not part of this...
They do.
...mess that is Crescent City. So
Therian could abduct me. I just want to go on record that he could drag me down to that little bubble that they mentioned, and I'd live there happily.
Yeah. Let's say I do like him alright.
I would be a merperson, or I'd be a fennec fox shifter.
Oh, okay. Be a fox, that's true.
And that would be hype.
Yeah. I don't know what Fury is.
I don't know what Fury is. She's a lesbian, apparently.
Well, she is, apparently. Hey, I kind of shipped that. I was like, all right, Fury, Juniper, all right.
I saw it coming. I was like, that makes sense. If they're only talking to each other, they banging.
Fair enough. And Juniper, I was just like, she's a sweetie, man. Like, ugh.
She's a cutie.
Juniper is so sweet. I was like, oh, Juniper. But, yeah, I don't really know if I have an answer other than I guess I would want to be a merperson at this point. I don't really feel connected to anyone.
I don't want to be a part of any of this shit. I just want to live in the blue court.
yeah, that's where I'm at too. So right. I guess that's kind of where we can wrap up this book. Thanks for
sticking with us through this. I wish that we picked a better one.
We also picked an 800 page book, basically, to start off this book club.
Yeah.
Man, what were we thinking?
I'm sorry. So, our next book that we've picked is quite a bit shorter.
Yeah.
It's like, what, 350 yeah. some odd? We're going to read Cemetery Boys.
Yeah.
By Aidan Thomas, I believe.
Yes.
It looks to be a fun read, sort of a moderately spoopy one for the spoopy season, as it were.
So we'll start reading that, and we'll talk about that in 2 weeks, then.
Yeah. Do you want to give us a little description?
Yeah, the summary from Goodreads basically says, Yadriel has summoned a ghost, and now he can't get rid of him. When his traditional Latinx family has problems accepting his true gender, Yadriel becomes determined to prove himself a real brujo. With the help of his cousin and his best friend Maritza, he performs the ritual himself and then sets out to find the ghost of his murdered cousin and set it free. However, the ghost he summons is actually Julian Diaz, the school's resident bad boy, and Julian is not about to go quietly into death. He's determined to find out what happens and tie off some loose ends before he leaves. Left with no choice, Yadriel agrees to help Julian so that they can both get what they want. But the longer Yadriel spends with Julian, the less he wants to let him leave.
So, yeah, that sounds like it'll be a fun read.
Yeah, sounds like it'll be interesting.
And sure. We'll see you in 2 weeks with part one of Cemetery Boys.
Right.
Until then, I'll see you in the next adventure.
And, yeah, we'll see you in the next chapter. Hey there, readers. As the plot thickens, we want you to be part of our story. Tell us your thoughts and theories, or ask us your questions. Have a book recommendation? Send us an email at yahdpc@gmail.com. Our Goodreads list will also be up to date with what we're reading, along with our own reading recommendations for you. You can follow us on social media for more bookish content and a glimpse of what's going on behind the scenes at yahdpc on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. See you in the next chapter!